22:28-30. And it says this, "And her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken." In verse 30, which is probably very familiar to everybody, it says this, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Let us pray this morning. Father, as we come, Lord, I come thanking you, Father, for the opportunity, Lord, that I have, Lord, to be before this congregation here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, it's your mercy and grace be upon each and every one here. I pray, Father, that your hearts and minds would be open, Lord. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, as they are, Lord, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that we would come to the knowledge, Lord, even more and more of your word, Lord, and let it sink in, Lord. And we will give you the praise for it all, Lord. And we thank you for that opportunity, Lord. Lord, we pray, Father, again this morning, Lord, that you would be with each heart, Lord, and be with each soul, Lord, and Father, that doesn't know you as a personal Savior. For today is the day of salvation, Lord. We want to give you the praise and the glory for it all. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. Thank you. Thank you all. If God will allow me this morning, I want to preach on that 29th verse and that 30th verse. What I've titled my sermon this morning is Untempered Mortar. And if you're like me, I've heard Ezekiel 22:30 preached inside and out down through the years. And you know what? And as it said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Now, to understand verse 30, as I preach to you this morning, I'm going to be in awe of chapter 22, because you cannot understand verse 30 without getting down and studying all of verse 32. So I'm going to be touching on a lot of chapter 22 this morning, what I'm going to be touching on. And as I did, I realized that it fits going on what's going on today, especially in the church world today. This fits right into it. And God had pressed it upon me down through this week as I studied it. It said, untempered mortar is like this. What, if you go back and look at it, it means something like whitewashing, like plastering over something is what it means. It's to make something look good on the outside, but on the inside or the foundation of it is crumbling and is full of cracks. To make something sound good that it's not. Have you ever seen mortar, or have you ever seen concrete that's pitted or that's coming loose? And maybe one time I seen a patio and all the concrete was coming up and it was pitted and patted. That's untempered mortar. That's what that is. It's getting pits in it. It's not right. It's not mixed right. When concrete was first poured, it looked good. When that patio was first poured, that patio looked perfect. It looked like it was great. But as time went on, you could tell that it wasn't. Something was wrong with it. That's exactly what the spiritual leaders were doing to Israel, to Judah, and also to the city of Jerusalem at this time. The last part of that verse says this. It tells us the prophets and preachers were seeing vanity. They were dividing lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. In verses 29 and 26 of that same chapter, it's tied together and it said this, the priest, the politicians, and the preachers, even the common people, were doing this. They were responsible for the destruction of the nation. Let's just go ahead and read 26 through 29 as I'm looking at it. It says this, Her priests have violated my law, have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, shed blood, and to destroy souls, and to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dubbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and dividing lies into them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. Untempered mortar. Mortar that had not been mixed right. Doesn't have the right ingredients in it. And the mix is not consistent. Listen, can I tell you something this morning? A lot of this is talking about religious leaders, religious people. I might as well say it's talking about preachers and those, if you want to bring it up into our terms today, that don't have the right stuff. That don't have, they're not, and time will tell you whether or not they do or they don't. And told the people just what they wanted to hear. That's what they were doing. And saying, God told me to tell you this. God said this. God told me to do this. Sound familiar? Does to me. It has to me as I listened to this and thought about this and wrote down notes about it this week. It's untempered mortar. Mortar that is not right. Mortar that is not mixed right. There have been preachers telling us for years that everything will be okay if you just send them your money. If you just listen to them. And it's untempered mortar. Let me go into more of the scripture this morning. I'll be bouncing back and forth all over this morning. But I want you to understand something this morning. As I preach to you, let it sink in. Let it sink into your heart and soul this morning as you listen to this. What is going on today? Verse 24 says, Son of man, saying to her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. An unclean land. Can I say something? They're not talking about trash. They're not talking about litter. They're not talking about pollution whenever you see this. He's talking about the dirt and the mire and the muck of sin. He's talking about ungodliness and he's talking about wickedness. Ezekiel's saying that the land as a whole had not been cleaned. It's what he's saying. He said there had been a while since there had been a revival in the land, since there had been true repentance in the land of Israel at that time. The land was dirty and the land was filthy. And would you agree with me this morning as I say that, as we read these words, with this, that's where this nation is right now? That's exactly where it's at right now. It's unclean. It's filthy. It needs revival in this land. It needs for God felt on your knees, revival to sweep across this land. I love this nation. I love America. I really do. I thank God for allowing me to be born there. There's no doubt in my mind. But can I say this nation is filthy and it is dirty and that it needs God more than ever right now. Amen. It needs it. To say that this nation is dirty from sin, it would be an understatement. Have you seen the number of cases? What got me started on this somewhat down through the week, as me and Tink was talking about it, of missing children that have been found recently. I applauded their effort, but didn't realize that most of these victims were used for sexual trafficking. In Georgia, in the end of August, 39 children were found. 15 of them were used for sex. From 2003 to 2016, we're talking about this nation now. 6,600 children have been found and recovered from this. In this nation, the average age is 15. Yes, this land is dirty. Yes, it is. Can I say this? I seen the other day where there was a bunch of them that were rescued, were getting ready to be shipped over to Europe for sex trafficking. And I thought to myself, listen, where have we come as a nation? Where have we come as a land? Yes, this land is dirty. Pedophiles have infiltrated organizations all across this country that we once considered safe and we once considered with honor to them. The Boy Scouts, the teachers, coaches, and the church youth programs. Yes, this land is dirty. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, cousins and friends, I want to say something to you this morning. Watch over your children. Watch them. I hate to say this. Watch over your kids. Trust no one. When it comes to your kids, trust no one. A few years back, we know of a situation in a church here locally where the youth pastor was convicted, was tried for that. Can I tell you something here this morning? Watch, this land is dirty. This land has been taken over. And I'm telling you, as you read the scripture this morning, it is what's going on. According to the Pew Research, that only 46% of children in this country are raised with what they call a traditional family in the United States. Traditional marriage is defined as two heterosexual couples in their first marriage. And back to my last point about sex trafficking and about the children and to watch over them. Do you realize the majority of those kids that are taking into this are those that don't have parents or maybe are single parents or from broken homes? It is sad. I'm preaching on things this morning, yes, because it does upset me. Yes, it does bring me, that's what it said. We need people to stand in the gap in this nation and say what's right and wrong and let those know that this is wrong. James 1:15 put it this way. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, does what? It bringeth forth death. Untempered mortar. America, for too long, the foundations have had cracked, and we just tried to cover it over and to make it look good. We are dirty, we are filthy, and we need revival in this land. And it's starting to crumble right before our eyes, and I realize this has been going on for years and years and years, and we've just closed a blind eye to it and said, you know what, it doesn't happen in my country or in my neighborhood or my state. It's happening everywhere. And now it's starting to crumble. And it's getting to the point where nothing will be able to cover it up. Why was it like this in Jerusalem? Why was it like this in the nation of Israel? And at that time, the last part of verse 24 tells us why. It's said it neither nor rained upon the day of indignation. You know what rain usually means in the Bible? It usually means blessings. It usually means the Spirit of God. They hadn't felt the Spirit. Not only was the land dirty, but it was dry, nor rained upon it. Ezekiel is telling the people because of their sins that God had pulled His blessing from His protecting hand off of Israel. I can see that happening today. Can you not? I can see it. It talks about dryness. The nation may not be going through, this nation right now may not be going through a drought anywhere. All over the country, there's some places that are. Some places have more rain in the natural sense than what they need. But can I tell you this morning that there is a spiritual dryness that has swept across this land. It has been going on for years. And I'm telling you right now, God needs, this nation needs revival. And we need the Spirit of God to sweep across it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Churches are drying up. Yes, they are. There's no sense in turning a blind eye to this. Churches are drying up. People are leaving churches in droves. Preachers are getting out of the ministry. How many stories have you heard recently about singers and preachers giving up or getting out of it or falling? And churches that used to be thriving are down to barely nothing and are completely closed in some cases. I read of a story in Georgia. I heard about this the other day when I was studying for this. A church in Georgia that used to be on fire for God. The church was full. It was a big church. It was full, and people were going there. People's lives were changed. People's hearts were being touched. And you know what it is today? It's a funeral home today. Isn't that ironic? Isn't it ironic? Isn't that what the church is about? Now, instead of a place that's on fire and alive for God, it's a place that's embalming corpses. And you know what? There's a lot of churches like that today. Is there any wonder there's a dryness in the land? Is there any wonder that people are leaving the churches? Any wonder whatsoever? Because if you cannot feel the Spirit of God moving in it, if you cannot feel it, there's nothing. 2 Timothy 3:5 and 7 says this. Talks about the end time church. It talks about it. It talks about, you know, it said there'll be spiritual dryness in it. There'll be and that whenever this happens, that listen, that you won't be able to tell. You know, the people, some of the people won't even be tell that they're sitting in a dead church. Let me make a point here. There is a difference between spiritual dryness and spiritual death and being spiritually dead. There is a difference. Spiritual dryness means that a person or a nation is distanced from God, not feeling God in their life right at that time or at that moment. Whereas being spiritual dead means that you're unresponsive and that you're unable to respond. I'll tell you, there is still hope for America. Jesus has not come back, but we need to respond. We need to respond to God's calling. We need to get on our knees as a nation and respond to that. Nothing that I'm talking about this morning is about spiritual death. Yet, we are getting close. As a nation, we're still feeling the pain. If you can still feel the pain, will you agree with me this morning that you're not dead yet? And we are feeling the pain in this nation. We are not dead yet. But as I said, we need God in our lives. Jesus said in verse 8 of Matthew 24, He said this, "And all these are the beginning of sorrows." All these are the beginning. He said, because of the birth pains that are falling upon this nation. He said, everything down through there were the beginnings of sorrow. As a woman going into labor, that's what he's talking about. He said, as a nation, spiritual dryness has been upon this nation for a while. We have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captivity. Silly woman, laid with sin, led away with divers lust, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The land is dirty, the land is dry, and thirdly, the land is being destroyed. Ezekiel 22, 25 through 29, it talks about how the land is being destroyed. It said here, this is the conspiracy of her prophets, in the midst thereof, like roaring lions, ravening the prey. And get this, they have devoured souls. Verse 26, said, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed a difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hid their Sabbath, and they have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I profane among them. Her princes, as in the midst thereof, are like wolves ravening the prey to shed and to destroy souls. Listen, Ezekiel talks about a land that was being destroyed. He talks about a people whose souls were being destroyed. In verse 20, he talks about people being oppressed and being in excess and needy and having to be oppressed and the strangers being oppressed in that nation. Listen, I'm telling you, in verse 31, God said this, therefore I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. From verse 25 down to verse 31, he said, to the end of this chapter, not only was the land dirty, not only was it dry, but it was also being destroyed. Now let's take these verses that God gave us Ezekiel and just bring them right into this nation today. Let's just do that. I want Drift Run Church this morning to be a voice in this land. Not just Drift Run, but me and the leaders of this church. It is time that God has, in this time that God has allowed us to live in, let us not back down, let us not retreat, let us change our position or our message, and let us not apologize for preaching and talking about God. Let's not be timid and let's not be quiet. Because I'm afraid that is what happened here whenever Ezekiel was talking about it here. That is what happened. As a matter of fact, we need to be a whole lot more forthcoming, a lot more bolder, a lot more able to stand in the world that we're living in. We're in a nation facing dryness, and it's facing destruction, and it's facing devastation like never before. And we are the ones that are the ones that are in between it, that are able to uphold our nation. Be a voice for the people of God. Folks, mark it down. I'm serious about this. Mark it down. The winds of opposition are going to get worse, and they're going to continue to blow harder and get worse and worse and worse concerning the church. Every church that believes in the Bible, against every Christian, against everything that is right, the winds of opposition are going to blow. And don't be lulled to sleep. Don't be lulled to sleep like so many are, and don't just ignore it. Don't ignore what's going on in this nation, because if you ignore it, you're part of the problem as well. Amen? And just hoping that it'll all go away, just hoping because that it'll all go away just because it's not around here or it's not happening to me. Can I tell you something that I believe? What's happening around this country will end up on our footstep one of these days. It'll end up here one of these days. It's coming. Believe me, it's coming. Romans 13, 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Wake up, Christian, this battle is upon us. And sadly, many of the watchmen who were supposed to warn us have fallen asleep. I lay that at the charge of way too many denominations, too worried about their man-made institutions, not worried about keeping God's word. I lay it at the feet of church members, too worried about a building than warning the people. And I especially lay it at the feet of preachers and pastors, and I lay it at the feet of evangelists, too worried about stepping on toes to warn the people what's coming down the pike. Preachers living too close to the world. And I'll tell you this, preachers living too close to the world. It's what's going on to be any good up here in these pulpits. Brothers and sisters, we have two choices. We absolutely have two choices in this day and age we live in. And I hope and pray listen, we cannot sit back and just let things happen. We can either ignore it, or we can stand up and get up in these pulpits and we can preach and we can go out and tell the world that they need Jesus Christ and they need to change. We can be bold, or we can stand the way we are right now. I'll tell you what, in verse 25 and 26, it says that there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like roaring lions ravening the prey. They have been devoured. They have taken the treasures and precious things. They have made their many widows in the midst thereof. And verse 26 says, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. They tell people there's no difference between right and wrong. I'm telling you, that is out there. It's out there. It's out there. There are people with no difference, that preachers preaching that there is no difference between right and wrong. Oh, I tell you what, that just breaks my heart. Embracing unbiblical truths. The conspiracy means what it means is treasonous, unlawful alliance. Brothers and sisters, the preachers and the teachers in churches nowadays, there's an unlawful alliance between them and the world. You see it. In verse 28, it said, her prophets dabbed them with untempered mortar. And as I said earlier, untempered mortar is not being made, it's not made properly. It doesn't have the right consistency. It doesn't have the right hardness. I'm going to tell you something, Christians. We need to get a backbone. We better get the right hardness, or I'll tell you what, this world will destroy you. It will. We better get the right hardness. We better get the right consistency. It won't hold up when the storms come. It won't pass the test of time. Time's the thing that'll tell you about untempered mortar. Time will tell you about Christians, those serving God truly. The prophet looks good, but what they were selling wasn't real. The preachers were talking, they were saying stuff that sounded so good. It looked so good. But it wasn't real. It looked real, but it wasn't. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen that? And the trouble is, it may take some time before you really come to know what's going on. And by that time, the lions and the wolves have destroyed the flock. Amen. Amen. There is a conspiracy of her prophets. And I wish I could tell you that it was just some good men who had gotten something wrong. But unfortunately, I would be lying to you if I told you that. They have classes, they have seminars, and they come out of these seminaries and teach you how to spread untempered mortar. You can see these fundamental Bible colleges. Yes, I'm going to get personal. You see them. They have learned how to get rid of pulpits. They have learned how to get rid of choirs. They have learned how to get rid of song books. They have learned how to get rid of altar calls. They have learned how to get rid of the altars, and they've learned how to change the Bibles. They've learned how to change their messages. And they have learned how to make a church popular. And they've learned how to run good folks out of the church and to fill it up with goats. Amen or oh my. A lot of these seminaries teach nothing but liberal ideologies. And guess, when these young preachers go out into the world, you know what? They spread untempered mortar. And it takes a few years, as they said, for the chickens to come back to roost. In verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy thing. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed a difference between the clean and the unclean. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, listen. The clean, and they've hid their eyes on the Sabbath, and I have profaned among them. They were supposed to be spiritual leaders. Can you see it out there today? There are those folks that are supposed to be the spiritual leaders among us, and they're the ones that have profaned the things of God. They're supposed to be the ones who we're supposed to look up to. I'll tell you what, the only person that you and I need to look up to is Jesus Christ. That's the only one that we should look up to. Because I'll tell you what, men will fail you. They will let you down. Absolutely, they will let you down. There's an old term for people like that. I wrote it down. I used to hear it. It's called double barrel hypocrites. We used to call them that, but you know, down through the years, they've gotten names attached to them. Names like Swigert and Baker and Farwell and Copeland and White, Olstein and Prince. They've got names attached to them now. Jesus called them snakes and vipers. He said this about them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are likened to the whited sepulchre, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and all uncleanliness." God is telling Ezekiel this, that the priests have violated my laws and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane, and neither have they showed a difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Listen, why is God being profaned amongst the nation of Israel? Can you not see it today? Why would God be profane? He's talking about the confusion that was caused. There were so many spiritual leaders because they had blurred the lines so badly between what was right and what was wrong. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:13, in the last days, there will be many like that. But evildoers and evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Unfortunately, many churches and preachers have become so proficient in lying that they believe their lies. They believe what they're saying. And God talked about that too. He said, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusions, and they shall believe a lie and be what? And be damned." We see this coming from the churches and pulpits from all across this nation. Name it and claim it. Prosperity preaching. No Christian should ever be sick with or without money. That's untempered mortar. Churches are more like rock concerts and country clubs than churches anymore. Amen or oh my. Preachers embracing sin, and just like in Ezekiel's day, they have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Not a bit of difference between it. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, but put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And something else that was going on at that time absolutely fits this nation to a T. Verse 27, "Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey." You know who they're talking about here? They're talking about the leaders of your nation. That's who they're talking about. The leaders of this country, of this nation, of that nation, of this country today, the ones who should be above it, who we put in office. They're the ones who are being groomed, and some of them are being groomed to take over. Here's Ezekiel telling us God cannot trust the leaders to do what was right. Can I ask you something? Does that sound familiar this morning? It does to me. It absolutely does to me. Leaders without honor and integrity, and they have no character. Not only have the leaders and the preachers and the prophets destroyed the nation, now get this, the people of the land have become part of it as well. They become complicit. Verse 29, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Every facet of society was affected back then, as Ezekiel was saying. Every facet of society is affected today. Whether it be our government, whether it be local governments, whether it be, listen, the churches, all of them can be affected, every facet of it. And how I wish I could say that that only applied back then. But it doesn't. It applies today. And it sticks today. Psalms 9:15, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they have made, in the net which they hid in their own foot taken. They did it to themselves, is what it's saying. And listen, we have done this as a nation to ourselves. Then we get to verse 30. And I, like I said, I've preached on this verse before, and this is the crux of the chapter. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. If you read verses 1 down to 30, that tells you what the man that he wanted him to do. We're going to go into it a little bit. And God said, I sought for a man. I believe God can use women, and I believe God has used women. God will continue to use women in unbelievable ways. God has used children. God has used little boys and little girls to do amazing things in the Bible. Nahum's wife, little maid, is the one that told her about God and about how he could be healed of leprosy. We've heard about the little boy in the Bible over Matthew. He had the fishes and the loaves of bread. And we know David was a child. We know that. And what amazing things. And the Bible is full of amazing stories and how that God used women and used children, God used in unbelievable ways. But with that being said, the greatest shortage in this nation today is God-fearing men. Absolutely. Absolutely. He didn't say, I was looking for a battalion of men. He didn't say, I was looking for this or that. He said, I was looking for one man. Did you get that? He was looking for one man who could turn the tide, one who could make a difference. God sought for one man among that whole nation. He didn't want an outsider either. Did you get that? Look in verse 30. He said, 22:30. He said, I sought for a man among them. Did you get that? He didn't expect an outsider to do it. He didn't expect somebody else to come in and do it. He wasn't looking for an outsider. He wanted somebody right then and there who would address the problem. God's looking for a man among them because the problems were among them. Our problems today as a nation is because of us as a nation. It's not because of any outside influence. It's not because of anything else. Because I believe if we were where God wanted us to be, we would be where God wants us to be today, and we wouldn't have the problems we have. God was looking for a man because the problems were right there. Verse 3, back up in that chapter to verse 3, and it says this. He said, "Thou say, then say thou, thus saith the Lord God, the city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come, and maketh idols against herself to devour herself." The city shed blood in the midst of it. The prophets were like roaring lions. In verse 25, her princes were in the midst thereof, were like ravening wolves to shed blood. God's showing Ezekiel the problem with them, whether they see it or not, was not out from outside. It was inside. They were the ones that were devouring the nation. They were the ones that were destroying that country. It's not some other nation's problem. It's not someone else causing the problem. I need a man who's aware of what's going on. And he said, "I what was going on in his neck of the woods, and I need him to stand up and do what God wants him to do. I need an insider. I need a man who's willing to stand up and tell the truth. God wasn't going to use somebody on the outside to change what was going on inside that nation. And can I tell you something here this morning? God will use somebody inside this nation to get this nation back on track if this nation can be back on track. Absolutely. He was looking for a man familiar with the sin that was going on. Can I say he's wanting the same thing for this nation this morning? What's going on in our neck of the woods? What's going on here? God sought a man. God wants someone among them. For what purpose? That he should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land, that I should not destroy it. Stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. He's talking about a wall. What he's talking about was a wall. And he said there had been a breach in the wall. Man, I tell you what, I could preach on that the rest of the afternoon if I wanted to, about what's in that wall and behind it. You do realize a wall serves two purposes, to keep what's inside in and to keep what's out out. That's what a wall does. And he said that the wall had been breached. He's wanting someone who's willing to stand and to be a spiritual flex seal, to be spiritual duct tape, to be spiritual plywood, to stand in the gap. Very powerful truth in that word, in that scripture. I could preach it all day, a wall. Listen, the bottom line this morning is God needs one individual willing to stand in the gap and fill in the hole. So what does God want this individual to do in light of what I just read? That's what he wants him to do. He said every aspect of society had been corrupt. What can make one individual do? The preachers, the political leaders, the people were all corrupt. That would be pretty demoralizing, right? And if we look around and we say to ourselves, man, there's no hope for this nation, that would be demoralizing. But God said it just takes one willing to stand up in your neck of the woods and led by him, led by his spirit to make a difference. That's all he's asking. Just one. What does he want? First, he wanted him to make judgment calls. Verse 1 and 2. 22, 1 and 2. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou son of man, will thou judge? Will thou judge? I'd like to have a dollar for every time I've heard, you can't judge. You can't judge. They take that scripture out of context all the time. Will thou judge the bloody city? Man, would I like to have that, because I've heard that down through the years, time and time again. Everyone seems to know that scripture. I can talk to people that don't even go to church, and they know that scripture. Thou shalt not judge. Believe you me, I've heard that a bunch of times. God tells Ezekiel, first off, he's looking for someone who's not afraid to judge something that's blatantly wrong and sinful. Call a spade a spade. Man of God, will you can make call the judge a righteous judgment? Today, many are afraid to do that. They would rather sit on the front porch with their feet up and let somebody else do it. Let somebody else do it. Let Greg do it. Let somebody else do it. And that's not the way it should be. I looked at this scripture and I thought about titling it Lions, Wolves, and Chickens. We've seen the lions. We've seen the wolves. Now we're seeing the chickens. No one wants to stand in the gap. What about you and I this morning? I lay this sermon at my feet just as much as I do yours this morning. But are you willing? Am I willing to be the one to stand in the gap this morning? To make the breach, to fill in the breach? Unfortunately, the scripture shows us this morning the same kind of people are here today. Leading churches, afraid to stand up and tell the truth whenever sin is blatantly there. God was searching for an individual. There's a shortage of preachers. There's a shortage of individuals to call out a lion and to call out a wolf that are destroying our churches and destroying our land today. Too many. And many, I say, may I say, it's not enough just to identify the lion and to identify, oh, we can all identify a lion and a wolf, can't we? We can identify them. But it's another thing totally different to stand up and say, listen, you're wrong. According to God's word, you're wrong. And that's what he's saying. Not only did he want to, he's looking for a man to stand up and judge, but he's looking for somebody to call it out as well. I don't know, but I hope you got out of this scripture what I got out of it down through the week. Because, man, I'll tell you what, it blessed me, and it sucked me, and it put me on my knees. Preacher, you mean I have to make a judgment call, then turn right around and do something about it? Amen! 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 He's wanting us. He said, this is the, listen, you want to know why we can't get folks into churches nowadays? The church has become the mockery of the world. They're laughing out both sides of their mouth at us. You say, well, why is that? Because the churches have become so full of hypocrites, they're saying to themselves, why do I want that? I got that here. The church has got to be better than that. There's been a breach in the walls. And God's looking for someone to stand in that breach, put their feet down, put an anchor down and say, enough is enough. This is my section of the wall. I'm taking care of it. Way too much of that. You wonder why people don't want to come to church. The world's philosophy has become that the best, if that's the best you have to offer, forget that. Do you blame them for that philosophy? I tell you what, I'm seeing more and more, I don't blame them for that. Thou hast despised my holy things and hast profaned my Sabbath. Listen, everything that we go, the blood that was shed, I've been into abortions around here a bunch. You know that. Abortion is horrid. It absolutely is. And anybody that backs that's horrid. It's not right. He's talking about blood on the people's hands. Blood on their hands. And listen, anybody that supports that has got blood on their hands. I'm just being honest with you this morning. And I could go into a lot of different things. There's so much going on in this nation right now that we need to stand up for. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, it has gotten to the point that if we do not stand up, if we do not do it, no one's going to do it. No reason, no wonder. When they come into the church and they hear everything is okay and this is all right and that's all right, well, see, I got that in the world. Let's give them something different. Let's breach the wall. Let's breach it. Let's fill that hole in that breach in the wall. And say, God, use me to do it. He searched that whole nation. He said he couldn't find any. That's sad. That's sad. I know better than that around here. There's plenty of people here that I know that would fill that hole, that wall in that hole. But we all need to do it. Amen. We all need to be doing it. What about your neck of the woods? What about your family? What about your neighbors? What about your coworkers? What about those people that don't like you very well? What about them? I'm here to tell you today, listen, I hope and pray. You know what? As I said, if we can still feel pain, we're still alive. And if we can still feel pain, we're still alive, there's still hope. I don't know what's going on in your life this morning. I don't know why I preached the way I did this morning. All I know is God gave me this sermon, and I wanted to give it to you this morning, the way best that He gave it to me. And I want to let you know this morning that God still loves you. He loves us. He loves our family. He loves everything about us. But he wants us to stand up and be that person. Be that one individual maybe, wherever you're at. If they get a song, if you have a need this morning, if you come right here, that would be awesome.